What is up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Everyday Parent Podcast. I am Alec, and with me, as always, is Kelly Blaza, Director of Family Ministry Experience, and Shane.
Wow. First of all, it's like the first time you've ever used like a full job title, and then Shane.
I didn't realize that was your old job title. And then it's second of all, why? Yeah. Why do you keep...
And Shane Sisk, our parent pastor. I'm going to be honest. In comparison, I did it more to save you because...
It does. It sounds Kelly's, a little Kelly's anticlimactic title, yeah, when you talk about Kelly's title.
Yeah, Kelly's title is just way cooler sounding.
All right. Thanks, guys. Also, does moms and dads here. You know, just fellow parents, just regular people.
Oh, I had a question and I forgot what I was going to ask. Pulling the curtain back a little bit, I like to send polls out to our staff and, you know, essentially incite violence amongst the staff and division. And so I'll ask things like, what's, you know, the best chocolate bar and best sitcom? And I didn't do chocolate bar yet, but that's a good one. I'll have to put that one away. Ice cream flavor, all that. And so the current one for this week is, what is the best burger, fast food burger? And our final two options, the championship round, is In-N-Out and Five Guys. So I ask you two, and I'll be the tiebreaker if you guys disagree. In-N-Out or Five Guys?
I don't know if I've had In-N-Out.
All right, so here's the deal, and I think this is the problem with your survey.
Oh.
I think not enough people have been able to experience In-N-Out because
it's
a West Coast thing.
Mm. Oh, wait. Maybe I have had it.
But I think I've had it,
mm-hmm.
and it was very good, but Five Guys are just up the road, and so I think they go with more of what they know and not necessarily what they've actually tried.
Listen,
that
I'm going to be...
sounds like a sermon illustration.
I'm going to be honest.
It does. That, we could use
like,
that.
You don't know God because you haven't fully experienced him yet. You're just...
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
I'm going to be honest. If that were true... In-N-Out would have beaten the other two options it's gone up against that are extremely local and accessible to everybody.
I think the idea of In-N-Out Burger, like you hear before Whataburger started moving up in our area, I think you hear, oh man, Whataburger, da 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 da. Well, now there's like three within 5 miles of us.
True.
And so I think more people are going to go, okay, well, I get it what it is now. I think with In-N-Out, it's still a lot of, man, I heard it's awesome.
It's like folklore.
Yes.
Like, ooh, have you had an In-N-Out burger?
So,
no, I haven't been
so
West.
So I think I voted for In-N-Out burger. But then when I started thinking about it, I think Five Guys. Yeah, on the...
So you're saying like you voted and now you're changing your mind?
Well, I'm not changing my mind. I'm just saying...
So what is the better burger?
I think probably Five Guys.
Okay, so you voted one way, but your beliefs are a different way.
But if we had In-N-Out out here, we would get a better assessment.
So here's the deal, is that while I understand what you're saying, we were in Texas long enough one trip to get In-N-Out like 3 times.
Okay.
Is it that good?
Well, part of it is that we just don't have it. Mm-hmm. But the other part of it is that, yeah, it is that good. Now, as a burger, the fries... You know what? I will understand everyone's hatred or love for them because typically they're not like crispy. And if you don't get them animal style, they're kind of bland on their own. Animal style is their secret sauce and cheese on top. It's very good.
Which place is that at? You can tell how I'm going to pick these locations.
In-N-Out. Okay. But the burger itself, it's a smash burger. It's extremely good. I like it. But I also think it's interesting that Five Guys and In-N-Out are two just very different types of burgers. So it is going to come down to preference. If you like smash burger, you'll probably pick In-N-Out.
Mm-hmm.
If you like a more traditional burger, you'll pick Five Guys. But I will say I like how my wallet feels after In-N-Out over Five Guys. Because Five Guys is ridiculously expensive.
Oh.
So Kelly, what do you pick?
I mean, I don't...
You're the tiebreaker.
Five Guys.
Yeah, I said Five Guys. Here's what I know. This is so weird. I'm not... Whenever I'm pregnant, I always will crave Five Guys. So it's like a weird tell in my house because like I remember one day being like, yo, you know what I want for dinner? Five Guys. And Mark was like, are you serious? And I was like, what's wrong with a burger? He's like, you never picked that. You're probably pregnant. And then I was. So for me, it's like, if I want Five Guys, there's like something else going on too. So yeah, I don't like.
We should do a podcast on cravings. Because for Kristen, especially with Carson, our firstborn, calzones. There was this place where she would send me to constantly to go get these giant calzones.
It's a real thing. We should do an episode on it because for one of my pregnancies, I was so sick. Like I was, sorry guys, I was throwing up multiple times every day. It was awful. The only thing that I could eat and not throw up was a Chick-fil-A biscuit, which are only served in the morning. So do you know what my gem of a husband did for me?
Poor Mark he had was to going go to Chick-fil-A.
On Saturday, he'd have to buy two because if I wanted to eat anything on Sunday, I was like, yo, we're going to have to reheat this puppy because I'm literally so sick. So yeah, it's so weird.
So Kristen's only struggle when she was pregnant with all three, she could not go into a Subway restaurant.
I mean,
the
no.
smell of that restaurant made her sick.
I couldn't go near the trash can. I also couldn't go near certain men that had BO.
Really?
Oh, I have a really strong sense of smell in general.
I thought you were going to say cologne.
No, just like a natural.
Odor. Well, that makes sense.
I remember I was at the gym one day and I was like on the treadmill, like trying to be healthy. And then this guy got on next to me. I vomited right there in the gym. It was like so bad and so embarrassing because I wasn't like pregnant enough to like look pregnant yet. But I was like, I'm sorry, bro. Like I had to leave. I was like, I'm just going to go home.
You just threw up on the treadmill?
I mean, I was running off, but like it's not like I could like kindly be like, oh, excuse me. I mean, it just happened. It was so bad.
Please tell me you turned to him and said, this is your fault.
No, I didn't do that. He never knew. He probably was like, that girl has problems, but it was rough.
Speaking of the gym, I saw Mark there the other day. I didn't say anything to him, though.
Wow, that was so kind of you.
Well, I was just like, I don't like being bothered at the gym, so.
Oh, at the gym?
Yeah.
Wow.
Y'all go to the gym together? Well, does he know who you are?
I'm probably not.
He hasn't listened to the podcast, so how would he know?
So if you see Alec at the gym, please do not talk to him.
Wait, this is fun. We should trick him. I love tricks.
Into what?
I don't know. No, you know what you should do? You should go up to him and be like, hey, man, you're not married to the girl from the podcast, are you? And then he'll be like, what? What podcast?
Yeah, no, he was definitely locked in. I was like, nope, not even going to try to talk to him. So anyways, speaking of trying to talk to people, there's a lot of people that are really good parents and want to work with their teachers. And then there's some parents that, you know, just their kids go, I'm trying to figure out how to. This is a terrible transition. Anyways, parenting with the teachers, not the teacher's parent, but working on that partnership between parent and teachers. It's what we're talking about today. And I don't know, how do you do it? Because I feel like I hear one of two extremes of stories and there's never an in-between. There's either the parent, the helicopter parent that is like honestly filling out the agenda book before the student does, or there's the parent that is super disconnected and or just trust their kid. And I'm going to say that's what my parents were, is that they just trusted me to get my stuff done because they didn't really ever talk with my teachers before I homeschooled. And then they became the teachers, so problematic there. But anyways, shout out to mom and dad. and so partnering with teachers, what does that look like? Is it even necessary? Isn't it the teacher's job to teach? Like, how does that transition from school back home with homework and everything and all that? How do you handle that as a parent?
Yes. Go ahead.
Nope. After you.
I view that as a partnership, right? So I think about the people who are influencing my kids' lives and, when they're at school, their teacher has an enormous amount of impact on them. So I think I start by honestly like praying over my kids' teachers. Like I don't always know who they're going to be. So I think I just like pray specifically for like characteristics or qualities and praying even that the teacher is a Christ follower, if at all possible. My kids go to public school. So, you know, I've been blessed here in Sumner County where sometimes like they are followers of Christ and that's a really cool bond. But also I love to come in as like a, hey, like I want to be your cheerleader and supporter. I'm going to begin that open line of communication, even if the teacher doesn't. So I have to remind myself, hey, this teacher has a multitude of students in that class and a multitude of parents and parenting styles. Yeah. So I try to set myself up early to just be like, hey, I want you to feel success in the classroom. Let me know as a parent what that looks like. Like, yeah. Do you need help in the classroom? I work full time, so I probably am not going to be the girl for that. But like, hey, let me know how we can best support you. Is that like bringing in snacks? Is that helping at Christmas party time or whatever that looks like? But I also am just kind of an open book with my kids. Like I'll shoot them an email or a message and be like, hey, here's who my kids are. Like my one son has special needs, so there's usually like a little bit more level of like being hands-on or giving the teacher information. But I just like to tell them up front, because here's the thing, as a teacher, you have to not only learn the dynamics and the personalities of the kids in your room, but you're also having to do that for their parents,
right?
Let alone if it's like a step-parent situation where now there's four parents involved. So I like to look at the teacher and be like, look, you can say anything to me about my kid, I'm not going to get offended, right? So that's a posture of humility that I have to embrace. But I want to know, like, if my kid's being reckless in the room, you got to tell me that, because that's a behavior I want to address at home too. So right. I just like to open up the door for communication. Like, hey, we're here to support you. Let us know how we can help. We're going to be praying for y'all. So I like to start that like early on, basically at open house. Like when we meet them, I'm just like, hey, it's so great to meet you. How can we encourage you this year?
I think parent support of teachers is huge. I think our teachers are underpaid. I think they lack resources. And I think they're not supported by a lot of family members, by a lot of parents. And so I think what Kelly's talking about is coming alongside and just being an encourager, being that parent that says, hey, I may not be able to be here all the time, but you let me know what you need and I'll do whatever I can to help. I think you have that. So if in the realm of working moms and dads, I think that's one of some of the best stuff you can do is be in communication through emails, be willing to support when you can. And then if you're able to, as a stay at home parent, you know, you can be the class mom, or you can be the class dad and be able to come alongside and help in those ways. My wife is in education, and so I get to see kind of another side of parenting. But I also think it's when I grew up, Alec, if I got a note home from a teacher or a call home from the teacher,
yeah,
not only was I getting paddled at school, I was getting paddled at home. And nowadays, parents will get a note or a message, hey, your son, and way too often, the teacher does not get support from home. I remember, matter of fact, the only time I ever saw my parents push back on a teacher, it wasn't for me, because I was kind of the class clown. I taught like almost every one of my parent teacher conferences went like this. Shane's very intelligent. He just can't keep his mouth closed. And now
he has a podcast.
Exactly. And so I would get in trouble for that. But I remember the only time I saw my parents push back on a teacher was with my brother. Eric and I were 13 months apart. Eric and I were opposites. Eric was good in school. Eric was, you know, did what he was supposed to. He was the good kid. And the teacher, Mr. Butterwick, which that was a whole different story, he yelled at Cutter or Eric one day and said, you're just like your brother, Shane. And my parents went in and said, hey, do not ever compare my kids. They're two different kids. They're two different. And if you had a problem with Shane, which he did, and I deserved it. I did deserve it. He said, do not project that. They weren't mean about it. They were just saying, you cannot treat my kids the same because they were different. It's the only time ever. I mean, I'm telling you, I would get phone calls home. I would get all kinds of stuff. And not once did my parents go, it's a pretty mean teacher, Shane. No, it was, you're grounded, or there was consequences and punishment. And so through that, you know, watching my parents do that, I'm very supportive of teachers.
Right.
And even when my kids come home, this teacher does this. You know, and I look at my kids and go, well, you're going to have to figure out how to deal with this because you're in this class for this whole semester.
Right.
It's never been, well, we're going to go talk to the teacher or we're going to go talk to. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with coaches. There's times where my kids have said, well, my coach does this or my, well, okay, you're going to have to figure it out.
Right.
You know, my job as a parent is to come alongside those coaches and come alongside those teachers and give them support. Now, if there's something truly wrong, we'll talk about it and we'll deal with it.
Right.
But I think more times than not, the teacher's the one who needs the support. The teacher's the one who needs to know that there's backing at home, and what they're saying in the classroom is getting supported at home.
But what's that fine balance of, like, you know, I mean, there's been, I see it more with sports where, you know, I'll talk with the student and they'll say, like, well, my coach doesn't like me or something like that. I'm better than the person starting. And then I'll go watch and it's like, yeah, there's a clear difference here where one player that's not playing is better than the other one. And so, like me, I'm like, well, what do I do as a parent? If I were the parent here, how do I handle that when I feel like it does appear that my child is being wronged, or something like that, or a misunderstanding? Like, how do you balance the letting your kids handle it and then stepping in and being the parent, being the protector of your children and different things like that?
Yeah, I think when I walk into situations, honestly, anytime I'm addressing conflict, I try to do a couple of things, which number one is assume the best. Like, when we assume the worst in people or situations, we can kind of sometimes walk in with these preconceived notions or this entire narrative that we have built up in our minds that is just not true. So I try to assume the best, but I also start with questions. Like, I love to ask open-ended questions to figure out maybe their perspective or their train of thought. So if I'm in a situation where I maybe need to advocate for one of my children because I think that they've been, you know, something has happened in the classroom that I don't agree with or I don't understand, I walk in and I'm just like, hey, you know, help, I understand that this happened. Can you help me understand why you made that decision? And sometimes I'll discover in that process, oh man, what I perceive to be maybe not the best choice, I didn't realize that there were like A, B, and C,
right,
you know, things at play that I'm not privy to as a parent who's not in the room. So from my one perspective, it didn't really make sense. Right. But once I got to see the teacher's perspective, I was like, oh, I see why you did that. And then other times I'll ask questions and listen and I'm like, okay, that's great. I still don't know if I fully agree with this decision. And then I'll just respectfully and kindly kind of present my opinion or my perspective and say, hey, you know, what can we do to remedy this? Again, my son has an IEP, so an individualized education plan. And there are numerous times where I have to walk into those meetings with a, you know, a whole team and a whole room full of educators, or, you know, a speech and language pathologist, the principal, and they all have very different opinions on my son's ability and like growth and all of that. So there are seasons where I have to go in and I have to really advocate. I remember like in, I think, kindergarten, I was really advocating that they were going to begin teaching him a certain skill. And I remember one of the educators was like, I don't think he's there yet. And I remember looking at the kindergarten teacher and being like, you believed in him though, right? Like, you said he was capable of this, and I had her backing, and she and I had each other's back. And I remember that as like a really beautiful moment in that process of like, right, because the kindergarten teacher and I had talked, we were on the same page, even in this room of like 10 people, we were trying to figure out a plan. Because we had talked, because we had gotten, you know, some clarity there, I felt really confident going in and like advocating for what I thought my son needed, right, even though it was like, you know, it was against what a different educator suggested. So I think you have to like know your situation. Obviously too, I would say preface everything with prayer, like seek the Lord's guidance and wisdom, and remember that you are a reflection of Christ in every interaction. So yeah, the way that you handle yourself and the way that you advocate for your kids matters. Like, yes, I wanted to be like, I wanted the situation to be different, but at the end of the day, I much more wanted to make sure that those people knew, like, hey, I respect you, I love the Lord, and I want to be like a good reflection of Christ to you, not like, right, oh, she's a heated mom and she's just mad because she didn't get her way.
Right.
And that's, I think that's huge. How you come in the room. Scripture says a soft answer turns away wrath. How you enter that room, how you enter that meeting is very important. And Alec, back to what you were saying was, I think you have to handle each situation differently. You know, I remember as a kid, I came to my dad and I said, hey, I'm not playing on varsity as a freshman because the coach likes this kid better. And I'll never forget. My dad looked at me and went, really? You think that? I said, yes. He goes, you think that coach is going to put his job on the line because he likes a kid better? And he said, or, and my dad went through like six different things on, you know, I wasn't working hard enough in practice. I didn't come off the ball low and hard. All these different things. And I just looked at him and I went, I'm going to go talk to mom. just because I was like, that's not what I wanted right there. But what he was saying was, look, you're in this situation. And one of the things we've told our kids one time, they had a teacher that was difficult, one of my kids. And I just looked at him and I said, look, their classroom, their rules. Mm-hmm. And so what I was trying to tell them and help them understand is they may not be fair, it may not be right, but this is their class and you're going to fall underneath their authority. And now if they tell you to do something immoral, if they tell you, then that's different. Now, and here, I'll be honest, here's another situation. There was a situation with one of our kids where we had to go in and sit down and have a conversation with this person. And the person sat down and said, started listing off all the stuff that they were doing. And I just stopped him and I said, look, I'm not here to talk about your style. I'm not here to talk about, you know, this or that. I said, here's, my child feels attacked because of what you said. If this is true, then we need to change it. If it's not true, and this is what they're hearing, then there's a communication problem. I said, we're not here to try to start something. We're not here to debate something. We're here to just understand if it's a communication problem or you said something, either way, we need to fix it. Mm. But part of it was we came in after praying about it. We came in with an attitude of we're not here to attack. We're not here to fight. We're here to resolve the situation that's going to be best for our kid.
Yeah.
And so I think I truly, and maybe I'm a little old school, but I truly believe it's important for us to support our teachers, to support our coaches. And there may be times, and look at our kids and go, hey, this isn't fair.
Yeah.
It's not fair at all. But how are we going to deal with it from here?
Because the reality is life is not fair.
Yes.
And all people, all kids need to learn how to adapt to different leadership styles, different coaching styles. I've been in kids ministry for like 15 years, and I remember approaching a parent about their child's behavior, and the dad looked at me and said, that's impossible. My child is perfect. And I thought he was joking because clearly nobody outside of Jesus is perfect. So I kind of laughed, and he did not. And I realized, oh, he's serious. So I remember trying to navigate that situation with a parent who genuinely thought that his daughter was perfect. I mean, it was near impossible because I was bringing up just facts of like, she did this, she said this, I just want to make you aware of it. And he just looked at me and said, that's impossible, she would never do that.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, that there are those parents out there. Now, that might be, you know, a small fraction of the pool of parents we're dealing with here, but I think about from a teacher's perspective, if even half the class has parents at home that are so one-sided to they believe everything that their kid is saying and they're never taking into account like the teacher's perspective, that is a hard place to be as an educator who, like Shane said, is probably underpaid, understaffed, under-resourced, and has a lot of kids to teach. So I think trying to come in with a posture of humility and listening and always trying to understand rather than be understood, I think is like a key value there.
And I think this is so big. When we go in and save our kids all the time,
they're not going
to
learn.
We set them up to fail as adults.
Yeah.
We set them up to fail when they get to college or when they get in the real world, and nobody cares if your mom comes in.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy, but I've heard of parents who have gone to interviews, job interviews with kids.
No.
And I thought, are you kidding me?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And so now you've got a kid who can't even go do a job interview on his own. But I think part of that is when we as parents don't go, hey, this is a tough situation, you're going to have to learn how to get along with this teacher, even though that you guys are on different pages, instead of going in and saying, I want my kid out of this class. Mm-hmm. Because what they learn is they learn that, like you said, life is not fair. There's things that we have to deal with. But if we're constantly saving them, if we're constantly going in and moving them out of classes or moving them to different schools or all these different things, then those kids will never learn how to deal with adversity. And then they get in the real world and they're lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good word.
Go ahead.
No, just to that, like, I remember forgetting my lunch at home one day, like, as a kid, and my dad's response was like, oh, sorry, too bad. And I was just like, I'm not going to eat. He was like, well, don't forget your lunch next time. But here's the thing. I didn't forget
you
my
didn't?
Lunch again.
Yes. Yep.
If my dad had brought it, who knows? So I think back now, I'll be honest, as the mom now, if my kid were to call me, I'd be like, oh man, like that's, I'm going to bring you your lunch, baby. Like, of course. But then I'd also feel like I would hear my dad's voice like, really? Like, yeah. You're really going to bail him out of that situation? So I think that like my dad's like old school tough parenting like has made me who I am today. And I'm so grateful for that. And I would never change it. But then I also wrestle like now as the parent of being like, oh. So you have to like tell yourself, like you as a parent, you have to do the hard things. Like, yeah. It's hard for you too to look at your kid and be like, you're going to have to suck this up. And it's not going to be fun. And here, reality parents, guess what? It's not fun for us either.
No.
That's why we need each other. Because you know your kids are going to be complaining about it. And you're going to have to stick to the rules that you set. Man. Parenting, man. It's hard out there.
It is. It's tough.
And to Shane's point, having been in a position where I didn't do interviews, but like I was still in management. It was at Firehouse Subs in Memphis. But we had multiple high schoolers come in while I was in college that... one of them, I remember we had to have a conversation and I was like, hey, you're doing all of these things wrong and you're putting us in jeopardy for all of these reasons. Quit in 2 weeks. There was another one that didn't get his way, quit in 2 weeks. A girl, if I remember correctly, couldn't even ask off for her own sake. Like, she needed off for a big family trip. Mom called. I had to take the phone call. I was like, this is not, sorry, this will be between us and her. And it's a really tough spot as people in management in these positions where kids have been set up for failure because they don't know how to have conversations. And so not speaking from a parent perspective, but from the perspective of someone that has had to deal with kids that have been brought up in that way, it's a challenge. And so,
When you read James, James is very clear. It talks about when you face hard times, when you endure, you are mature, complete, and lacking nothing. But the problem is when we as parents come in and save our kids and don't let them face those things or don't let them wrestle through things, we raise immature, incomplete, and lacking kids.
Ooh,
and
Shane.
That is scary.
Why don't you start with that?
Well, it just came to my mind.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you guys so much for being a part. Thank you for listening. If you are wanting to join the conversation, you can do that by texting parent to 98173. You'll get a form where you get to submit a question, maybe a topic for us to cover. We'd love to hear your feedback. Let us know what you think. So that's parent to 98173. And if you're like, hey, this resource is awesome, do you have more? Of course we do. We have a whole web page of resources. If you go to longhollow.com/parent, you can find resources that are sorted based on what range of age your kids or kid is at it's there all for you with links to Amazon for any books, any free resources we've provided. With that, Shane, Kelly, thank you guys so much, and we will see you guys next week.